Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Rishi Sunak has criticised Nigel Farage's claim the West provoked Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine. The Prime Minister says that the leader of the Reform Party's opinion was completely wrong and only plays into Putin's hands. Mr. Farage explained his view in a BBC interview.
Why did I say that? It was obvious to me that the ever eastward expansion of NATO and the European Union was giving this man a reason to his Russian people to say they're coming for us again and to go to war.
Russia has launched a new barrage of missiles and drones overnight, attacking Ukrainian energy facilities. Two energy workers were injured when a fire broke out. The search for missing British teenager Jay Slater has entered its sixth day, as Spanish rescue teams gather again to find the young man. The 19-year-old disappeared following an attempt to walk back to his accommodation in Tenerife after missing a bus. And Taylor Swift finally brought her sellout Eras tour to the capital last night. The pop star will return to Wembley this evening. From Radio News Hub, I'm Lucy Gormanley.
Say you're in a toy shop. When your shop's this busy, you're one happy back-flipping bunny. But when your cash flow stops flowing, you can't buy more stock. It's time for Till, the payment provider from NatWest that puts customers' money in your account the next business day. It could save you time and money. Search for Till by NatWest. That's T-Y-L. Tomorrow begins today. Terms and conditions, fees and eligibility criteria apply.
The girl them skill or chip.
Coming up. Colourful celebrates Windrush Day.
Courtney Laws, he was the godfather of Brixton. He was an important activist in South London and in the whole of the UK.
The Windrush generation are important storytellers of our history.
He was concerned that our civil liberties as black people should not be curtailed or trampled upon.
But there are so many unknown chapters that need to come to light.
On his arrival in England, Courtney immediately took up the mantle of mentor and protector.
This is a story about black ambition and black empowerment.
He was about the empowerment and the betterment of black people.
They could not do without him because he was a leader.
It's about leadership and the challenges that come with it.
I personally recall whenever he was being threatened by funders, including the local council. They can do what they like. We will still be here. Our spirit is strong and we will go on. I will do it my way. And his way he did.
I am investigating the life and the circumstances around the death and missing legacy of my dad, Courtney Laws.
He was too powerful.
They did everything to bring him down.
My Dad, Mr. Brixton, is the missing story from black British history that you didn't know you needed to hear.
I'm going to be very frank. I was minded of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, welcoming him. And not very long after, those same people were saying, crucify him.
Download My Dad, Mr. Brixton, available on all podcast platforms.
As of Monday, 24th of June, Colourful's DAB radio signal upgrades to DAB+. Here's everything you need to know. DAB+ provides better sound quality and gives the best possible listening experience. So please make sure you have a DAB+ enabled radio to listen to Colourful. But there are other ways to listen to Colourful, including on Colourful Player at colourful.radio. Smart speakers, TV, radio player, tune in and others. In these cases, you don't need to do anything. Your listening experience will stay the same. So don't forget, as of Monday 24th of June, Colourful's DAB radio signal upgrades to DAB+. If you have any questions about your DAB radio signal, please call us on 0203 475 4038. That's 0203 475 4038. And choose option 4 from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday to Friday.
Imagine, it's Saturday. One minute you're lying on the sofa, horizontal, in your pyjamas, trying to guess which celeb is dressed up as a singing chicken, eyeing up the last sweet and sour pork ball. And the next, corn crackers, you're a millionaire. Lotto, will you be next? Play on app, the National Lottery. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, colorful.com and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Colorful. Colorful. Colorful celebrates Windrush Day. Windrush Day.
Former service personnel from the Caribbean who arrived in the UK on the 22nd of June 1948 and afterwards to help the UK's post-war effort and economy took up the roles in the NHS. In this Windrush Day episode titled Windrush and the NHS, we learn how one such personnel personified NHS service and became a trailblazer, navigating their career path through the NHS and beyond to damehood. I feel like I should bow as I say that. Dr. Dame Neslyn Watson-Drouet has a long track record in nursing and the NHS as a former nurse, midwife, health visitor, health promotion officer, deputy director of nurse education, and non-executive director in the NHS, including 10 years as chair of NHS Kingston, a Florence Nightingale Foundation frontline facilitator, and an established entrepreneur. Did I miss anything?
Wonderful. And you know, when I listen to those introductions, I take a breath and say, is that me?
Do you sit up straighter?
Sit up straighter and say, is that me?
Yes, that's quite something. Dame Neslyn, it's an honour to meet you. Thank you for taking the time to talk with me.
Yes.
So how old were you when you arrived in England?
I was 19 years young. I arrived here on the 22nd of March, 1969. Yeah.
What were your immediate impressions of England, the weather and the people you encountered, and did that change quickly or gradually over time?
Oh my goodness, where do I start with this? Now, you have to imagine a 19-year-old getting on a plane for the first time and coming to England with 7 cotton dresses, enough underwear to last for a week without laundry, no coat and no boots. I was met by a distant relative of my mother who brought a coat and a pair of boots to the airport for me.
I am in despair for you. I'm in despair for the 19-year-old you.
The 19-year-old country girl. And so here I arrived, and of course, it's damp. It used to be colder than it is now, you know. It's damp and it's cold. And I was taken to their home, given a meal, given a meal, and then brought to the train station in Denmark Hill to find my way to Kent. Yes, quite.
For those of you who can't see me, I'm looking in shock, horror, and despair.
So there you go. So that was my but so fast forward, I went to Kent to the hospital to actually begin my training as a nurse, and of course I got very. Talk about having a bit of a shock. I got there, and so that was Ashford General, and the matron met me, and she said, you know, I'm sorry, I haven't got good news, because you have come via the Jamaican embassy, and we guaranteed that your place for training. But we had a review last month, and she said, we have been downgraded. Our training has been downgraded. So instead of state registered nurse, we are now training for state enrolled nurses. What do you want to do? Of course, what am I going to do? And she said to me, you can either train as a state enrolled nurse or stay as an auxiliary and I'll try and find you a training school. I don't know how long it would take. So I opted to be trained as a second level state enrolled nurse. You know, but I experienced a lot of love. The patients were good. I was taken. Patients used to invite me to their homes. The ward sisters were brilliant. I never really spent a Christmas on my own. So there was a lot of love and generosity. And one of my other colleagues who was a trainee with me invited me home and wanted me to get to know his adopted daughter. His adopted daughter and his wife, both of them became my very good friends. His Jenny, his adopted daughter, had a little mini. And so on my days off, we would be driving all around Kent and having a lot of fun. And so all of that was wonderful. So in many ways, I got integrated into the society. And the matron kept her word in the sense that as soon as I finish the 2 years, before I finish, she actually wrote to where she was trained. She wrote to the matron there and recommended me, and I went to do my state registration. There's another story to that, but I'll stop it there.
Another time. So just to clarify, you then weren't already qualified as a nurse on arrival. You had to train to become a nurse.
Yes, because my intention was to return to Jamaica as a public health nurse.
So,
and in order to, and which is what we call health visitors here. And in order to be a public health nurse in Jamaica, you also need to have been a qualified midwife, because you could be out in the rural areas and, you know, there are issues that you needed to deal with.
Mm. So did you have any kind of nursing experience before you came?
No, I came from Jamaica from a low level in the civil service. I worked when I left. My first job there was in the registry at Industrial Terrace in the Department of Communications and Works.
So what made you decide? Because that's quite a decision to make, to leave Jamaica, sunny Jamaica, to come to the UK. I want to be a nurse. Is there something that inspired you over there?
Oh yeah. I knew from a very young age that I wanted to be a nurse, and while I was at school, I used to dress the children wounds if they had a problem. I was a carer at a very early age.
So were there no nursing opportunities back home? Was England the only choice?
There were two choices. I didn't want to stay in Jamaica because my father did not support me being a nurse. He said that he wouldn't recommend nursing because they don't get good pay, and he wanted his girl child to be able to support herself. He used to drill it into me and said, whatever happened in life, you need to be an independent woman.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes, and you know, it is so funny, because just before I got married, a few days before I got married, my father rang my husband then to be, and he said, "Peter, I hear you're marrying my daughter. If you have any doubts, don't do it."
Oh, thanks, Dad.
But the Jamaican man put it well. In other words, he's saying, "Don't screw up my daughter."
Yes, yeah. I like that. And actually, I think probably a lot of people could do with that little word, isn't it? If you're having any doubts, don't do it. Now's the time.
Exactly.
Speak
exactly.
Now, forever hold your peace, before you have to speak now, forever hold your peace. So how did you begin to rise through the ranks of the NHS? Did you find any obstacles from individuals or even institutional or systemic ones?
Oh, my goodness. How did I rise? It's to be the best at whatever I do is in many ways ingrained within me. So at school, in elementary school, one of the mottos was "Be your best, grow into a mountain," and another of the motto was "Am I always diligent, courteous, and kind?" You know, exactly. It had a nice ring to it, isn't it? And and when in so in my first level training, I got the medical prize for outstanding achievement. And in my state registration, at the end of my state registration training, I got the gold medal for top in class. So, you know, I'm so top in class.
I'm just thinking, of course you did. From what I see and hear of you so far, of course you did.
Top in class in many ways. And so so I shared with you that I had fun in Kent. I didn't. It's either that I didn't. I think perhaps I didn't know what racism is. Yes, that's it. I didn't know what racism is until I came to London. And I don't even think I then knew at the beginning of coming into London in 1973, I would say I experienced prejudice. But what happened was I came for an interview at King's College Hospital to be trained as a midwife. And the director there said to me, "And Miss Watson, how do you think you will cope with medical students?" And I looked her in the eye and I said, "Are they not human beings?" And I thought, I don't want to come here. I don't want to come here. So I came to Kingston and I did my midwifery training in Kingston, and I didn't experience any of that nonsense. Then when I was ready to be trained as a health visitor, I went into Northeast College of Technology in Yule. And when my name was called, Miss Watson, I went, stood up, and the woman there was certainly very ignorant. And she said, Watson is an English name. And I said, "No, it is Scottish," which it is. And she doesn't know her history, and she doesn't know. And I thought, no, because she... So in other words, what she was demonstrating to me was I wasn't what she was expecting. And I thought, I don't want to come here either. So I went to the South Bank. And then when I was ready to be trained as a health visitor, I could no longer live in nurses' homes. You had to live out in the community. And trying to find somewhere to rent was problematic, because in those days, the notice on doors was "No dogs, no blacks, no Irish." Exactly. And so it was tough. I didn't find much space. I couldn't find anywhere to rent. And so I decided I was going to own property. Can you imagine? So I went into... So I did some of my part-time work in agency at St. George's Hospital. And so I began to look around the area, and I saw an estate agent in Tooting, and there was a masonette for £9,500. And I went in there and I put £50 down and said I wanted to buy this property. And I had applied to at that time you could apply for a GLC mortgage. And GLC used to give mortgage support housing then. And I went and the person who interviewed me, the manager, was so rude. Absolutely rude. And I was so incensed that I came away and I wrote to the director of housing and I said, I came for an interview and I was treated this way and this is no way to treat a person. I am a respectable person within the community. I work as a midwife and it is my intention to be trained as a public health nurse, as a health visitor. And in order to do that, I absolutely need somewhere to live. And as far as I know, there are three ways a woman can earn a living. She either works for it or she becomes a prostitute. And I was very straight up the line. I said, you know, and I have no intention to go into prostitution. I need to earn my living and I would like an opportunity to own a property so that I can live decently. And he gave me an interview. The director gave me an interview. So I went back and when I shared all that, you know, he said to me, just wait a moment. And so I had to wait for an hour, but it seemed like the longest hour. It probably wasn't even an hour, but it seems like it seemed like a whole day. I waited and he came back and he gave me 100% mortgage, 100% mortgage. So that's how I started on the property ladder. And I didn't have to become a prostitute.
I can't even say anything.
So the next time I when you said, did I experience any difficulties? The next time I experienced difficulty was so this is we are going on many years now. I went for a job. By now I was a trained teacher as well. I had left the health service and I was a trained teacher and I saw a job. I wanted to go back into the health service and I applied for it. It was when the Project 2000 had come in and nurses were being trained in the new ways. You know, they were going to be degree nurses and they were going to be very focused around health. So I applied for this job and the director of human resources rang and said, you know, there is good news and bad news. Which do you want first? I said, well, I'm Jamaican, you know, give me the bad news first and I can go out dancing with the good. And she said, well, the bad news is we're not going to appoint you for the job for which you applied. The good news is we are going to appoint you. Write the job description and tell us how much to pay you. So here I am now. I am absolutely floating on air. And then 2 years later, a new person came in as my line manager and said, Neslyn, I find you threatening because you're black, you're a woman, you're intelligent, I'm going to block you. And I thought, oh no, baby, you're not. I felt as if the bottom actually dropped out of my personal bucket. You know, I was very wounded. But I, you know, a very strong determination. I decided I was going to go out and be an entrepreneur. Of course, I couldn't spell the word. But I was going to be an entrepreneur. Do you mind? And in many ways, looking back, it's the best thing that happened to me. Because I became my own boss. And in becoming my own boss, I had vision and aspiration. I thought this woman who told me she was going to block me, if she had leadership training, she would have known how to use my intelligence and take it as hers. But she didn't. So I wrote then to Virginia Bottomley, who was the Secretary of State for Health. And I said, I don't think many health service managers know how to lead. And I want to develop a leadership program. Of course, you know, I had enough behind me by now. I had a master's degree and I had won an ESSA scholarship in personal development. So I had something under my belt. And would you believe it? Virginia Bottomley referred me to a civil servant and, you know, talk. And I got the go ahead. It wouldn't happen now. It wouldn't happen now because when I look at all the governance issues, I wasn't even a limited company then. That contract allowed me to become a limited company. And so I developed a leadership program, which was ran for 3 years at a national level, right across the country, and drawing people from across the country. And it was evaluated by Warwick University. I said, you know, this is good and it needs to be much wider. So it formed the foundation for the NHS, what they call the Breaking Through Program at the NHS, and which then became the NHS Institute, which then later on morphed into becoming the NHS Leadership Academy. So that's what I got my MBE for, nursing leadership. And so, yeah, I could talk forever. What was the question?
I don't even remember. I'm so engrossed. I was sitting at your feet, listening and taking you in. Yeah. I think you answered it. It was, how did you begin to rise through the ranks of the NHS? Did you find any obstacles from individuals or even institutional or systemic ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you answered it. And if not, that's okay, because you gave us so much more. So you've also had an extensive career outside the NHS as a consultant, entrepreneur, and investor. Can you expand on those? Can you tell us a bit more?
Oh, my goodness. Where do I start? I you know something? I have always invested in my community because... When I was a student nurse, I used to identify those who were coming behind me and what is it they needed to learn. So teaching is in my DNA. So I was a charity trustee and I support, and that charity used to support a lot of young people to actually get a job. You know, the charity worked mainly in the Southeast, and it was people from marginalized, underrepresented communities, and some of them were caught up in gangs and crimes, you know, white and black, you know, they were caught up in gangs and crime. We used to get them out, and I gave a significant amount of money to that charity. I also invested in Colourful. I'm one of the early investors in Colourful, because at the time, when you look at what Colourful Radio has achieved, at the time, the CEO reached out to communities, and there were people who could help, but never did. And I've also invested in solopreneurs, as we know them now, who wanted to start up and couldn't, and they didn't have the resources behind them. So, in all, I recently did a tally. I've invested almost £1 million in terms of giving away, as it were. £150 short of £1 million over my lifetime. So, yeah, yes, yes. It gives me great pleasure to do that, because, you know, some people die and leave their legacy. I have lived and live my legacy.
I know exactly what you mean. I'm actually a will writer, so mm-hmm. I have these conversations about legacy and leaving mm-hmm. leaving a legacy. I have two more questions. I wonder if we can get them in. I don't want to rush, but with such an expansive life experience, what would your advice be to people who could be in a position to help others as you have done all your life?
Oh, my goodness. Pay it forward. I'd say pay it forward in many ways in which you can and are able to. Don't leave yourself short, but particularly invest in the young. Invest in the young. The child doesn't have to be yours. If you can support a child who needs something, do it, because they are our future. They are not, and our in a very, very big way. So it is my philosophy that each one helps one, each one teaches one, and if you're able to support, do so. You know, as I mentioned, look at all the opportunities that Colorful Radio has actually given to young people. So I said, you know, at the start, many who could have given support didn't do that. They held back. So those who stepped forward in those early years with Colorful really made tremendous sacrifices. And I have such respect for the CEO and his wife, because they have made their own sacrifices to keep Colorful on the road. So in terms of, I don't want to really give advice, but I would just own my truth. And my truth is that I take from my lived experience that I say, when you pay it forward, it comes with many advantages. And it taught me, I have developed spiritually through that. It really taught me that I'm not alone. There was a time, as I said, I had given away all this money, but I was earning well, so it wasn't a problem. But my husband became ill, and the universe took all away my jobs from me. It just happened that my diary became blank. And I just used the time to care for my husband, because he had multiple cancers. You know, the three, four years later, more like five years later, when he was, you know, I could say he's out of the woods, the work had started coming back. So do I believe in a higher power? Yes, I do believe in a higher power. And I say that when you support your community, you get huge fulfillment. Those who were close to me knew that I was experiencing hardship. I didn't ask for anything, but it came back. People could look, they could see, and they gave back to me. So what is the message from that? I have actually learned to receive and know that I'm not alone. And I know that there's a plan for my life. Yeah.
And so finally, what's next for Dr. Dame Neslyn Watson-Rouet?
What's next? I don't know is the honest answer. I know that there is a plan for my life. I live in faith. I walk in faith. And I know that I have a purpose. And it's no accident that my business is called Beacon, Beacon Organizational Development. I am a beacon of light, and I use Beacon, my business, to support others to release their creativity, their vision, and their intelligence. And I know that I am actually here to serve my clients to maximize their optimal potential. And I meet and touch people at a heart and spiritual level. And I do that by being my authentic self. Somebody called me recently and she said, "Nesla, I've known you for a long time. And you're a woman of faith and I'm a woman of faith. But the difference between us is you talk about your faith with your clients. I don't have the confidence to do so." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry you don't have the confidence to do so. But, you know, that's just who I am." When I was growing up, there was a song that made a full impression upon me. And it was called "Each Step I Take." You probably know it. And if I had the voice, I would sing it for you. But, you know, there you go. I said something like, "Each step I take, my Savior goes before me. And in his loving hands, he leads the way. And with each breath, I whisper, I adore thee. Oh, what joy to walk with him each day." And it goes on like that, you know, that each step I take, I know that I will be guided to higher ground. My spirit leads me on. So I have no regrets. And look at life. Life, I say yes to life, and life has said yes to me.
Yes. That's one of my sayings. Dr. Dame Neslyn Watson-Drouet. I'm going to say them all. MBE, CBE, DBE, who received the Queen's Medal. Thank you so very much. It's been an absolute pleasure, a joy, and a delight speaking with you. And I look forward to our paths crossing. And you have been a beacon of light to, I'm sure, those listening, but also to me.
Colourful. Colourful. Colourful celebrates Windrush Day. Windrush Day. Windrush Day. Windrush Day.
Hey, this is your main Virgo standing on the floor, representing for the poor, for the poor. Hey, listen this. There ain't no money in my pockets and bills to pay, and my girlfriend is having a baby. Hard times, still me nah do no crime. Alright, it's like the sun doesn't shine for me no more. Poverty's knocking on my door, but I'm more life for sure. No soul me nah go poor, cause more I live me life. Take care of me mother, I'm a pickney, I'm a wife. Live me life. Now run down, no fear me, nothing at the hype. Mo, I live me life. Take care of me mother, I'm a pickney, I'm a wife. Live me life. Me just want to live me life. Well, I'm working from 9 to 5, hustling hard just to stay alive. It's hard, but me still I try. Not sit down, depend upon no guy. Alright, my friend come link me early in the morning. I tell me time rough in my bus, I'm too kind. But I know that me dey plan. No, nobody give me no weapon. Cause more I live me life. Take care of me mother, I'm a pickney, I'm a wife. Live me life. Now run down, no fear me, nothing at the hype. More I live me life. Standing tall now, both feet and dime. Still I hold the fiat and wait for my time. Me now follow no bad company. Me still I look the food for my family. And I'm in the streets from 9 to 5, hustling hard just to stay alive. It's hard but me still I try. Not to don't depend on no guy. Cause more I live me life.
I met with sweet Dorothy. She said, tomorrow I'm joining in matrimony. And if you act right, you can take me out tonight. It is wine and dine and get back in time. Baby, bum bum, baby, bum bum, dear. Baby, di bum di baby. I am entering in high society. You must be careful about the place you are taking me. Cause if you slip, I slide, and I may never be a bride. It is a bibi didi bam bam, oh bam bam, yeah. A little place up on Sugar Hill. It was terrific. You should have seen the size of the bill. Well, it was tough. I really had to felt a bluff. For it's a bibi didi bam bam, oh bam bam dee.
And if you miss this one, you
Shakily I asked Dorothy to dance. For on my mind I had nothing else but romance. I said to myself, boy, you better beat this iron while it hot, for it's a bee-bee-dee-dee-bam-bam, oh bam-bam-dee. Yeah, Lord, it's last week. Oh, baby, last week. Baby, last week. Bam-bam-dee-dee-dee-dee. And if you miss this one, you'll never get another one. Last week.
Music sweet, oh yeah, 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 yeah. Music sweet. The one who invented music has got to be terrific. Got to be the one who created the sun and the trees, rivers and seas. Oh yeah, yeah, ay, 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 oh, yeah. Music fills the world with happiness, plenty sweetness and togetherness. Music got no friends, it got no enemies. Everybody, oh, sing for it, sing for it.
you don't need a bulldozer to become a composer. Every little spot or a dot may have to construct a melody. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Music fills the world with happiness. Blend the sweetness and togetherness. Music got no friends, it got no enemies. Everybody looking for it. Single it. You're close, Kara, are you super stuck? Jump up, then music play, yeah, yeah, oh, lady, yeah, baby. But everybody, 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 got tingle, 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 tingle.
Colourful celebrates Windrush Day. Windrush Day.
This one is for my steamroller girls all over the world. Oh my gosh, girls. Yeah, Barbados, Trinidad, Guyana, Caribbean, Jamaica. Come on, yeah. Hong Kong, Japan, China, yo. America, yeah. Come on, yeah. England, Europe, Africa, yeah.
The way you shake that bumper, girl, I can't believe my eyes. I'm under pressure and I'm hypnotized. Like a steam roller, spinning round and round. Rotate your waist, girl.
Let me see you. Steam roll your bumper round and round. Steam roll it when you hear it start.
hearing me. Them no bad guys in the mommy no side the bus. I behave in the bus. I behave in the bus. I behave in the. Now everybody jump up and show me your worst behavior.